Hi, welcome to Redwood Wonk. I'm Matthew Owen.
And I'm Eric Kirk.
This week we discuss the war with Iran, the New York City election, ICE, and everything else that's going on in the country politically. Good evening. You're listening or watching Redwood Wonk. My name is Eric Kirk.
And I'm Matthew Owen.
And we're here to discuss national political news of the day. And although it's a few days old, I think we have to talk about the biggest news, and that is the war that is sort of not happening right now. And maybe it'll stay a ceasefire. Maybe it'll evolve into a long-term peace. I'm not that hopeful of that. But basically, as anybody knows who's been paying attention to the news, there was, you know, Iran has had a nuclear program that they claim is just for nuclear energy. There's been a lot of talk about enriching uranium such that they possibly had a nuclear weapons program. Since 2012, Netanyahu has said that they are weeks away from nuclear weapons. I mean, literally, you can go back and find videos of him saying they're weeks away. They're going to have a nuclear weapon by the next week. And in 2015 and in 2018. Well, he said it again. And you know, after war with Gaza and Lebanon, well, he opened up a war with Iran and started bombing various sites, military sites in Iran, stating that, hey, there was a pending nuclear, that this was necessary, or Iran was going to have nuclear weapons soon. Iran responded with its missiles. Its missiles, where most of them were being blocked, at least reportedly, but it's not like there weren't like the Hamas rockets. A lot of them were getting through, and there was a lot of damage to Israeli cities, particularly Tel Aviv and Haifa got slammed. Number of casualties, they're not exactly reporting them. In fact, any journalist who reports without IDF approval can be kicked out of Israel, but you go to open source on Twitter or Blue Sky, and you can see damage all over Israel, and it's pretty bad. So Netanyahu was pushing Trump to get involved, and we knew that Trump was going to do something, because several weeks ago we talked about on this show that he had diverted a bunch of defensive missiles, about 3,000 of them, that had originally were slated to go to Ukraine, to the Middle East, they said. Well, obviously went to Israel. A lot happening. And then finally on Saturday, after saying he was going to make his decision within 2 weeks, sent bunker buster missiles into underground facilities, three facilities in Iran, claimed victory. It's an open question as to how much damage was done to Iran's nuclear system, as to whether or not it was. It ranges from slowing down their progress for a month to doing severe damage to destroying Iran's nuclear weapons program. The problem being is there's no reports of radiation, which means that the enriched uranium probably was not hit. Given that Trump was teleporting that he was going to attack, it's very unlikely that Iran left it in primary target areas. But Matt, you want to chime in?
When was the last time we heard a president tell the United States people that X country is weeks away, if not days away, from getting uranium enrichment and getting a bomb? Can you remember those times?
I don't recall anybody telegraphing it ahead of time.
I'm talking George W. Bush, post 9/11, said Iraq had enriched uranium. We have to go into the country. We have to invade them to stop them from building a bomb. And it turned out Iraq had nothing.
No, it had nothing. It's possible that it was bombed by, you know, earlier attacks by Clinton, it's possible they never had anything, you know, or hadn't had anything for quite a long time. But yeah, that's right. And now,
so how many thousands of U.S. deaths do we have over nothing? Because Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11.
Not to mention possibly a couple hundred thousand Iraqis dead.
At least, right?
And a lot of people are praising this, saying, well, something needed to be done. Well, the problem is you can't end a nuclear program by bombing it. It's just, you can't do that. I don't know. Maybe that happened with Iraq. I don't know. Maybe Iraq never had anything really to speak of. But if we're really going to end this program, I mean, they've got scientists, they've got industrial capacity all over the place. If they really were weeks close to having nuclear weapons, the only way to put an end to it is a full-on invasion, you know, on the ground.
Boots on the ground.
Yeah. And so,
Eric, do your kids speak Iranian? Just curious.
You mean Farsi.
I understand that, but the average mega-Trumper has no idea what language they speak.
Yeah. It's a very different culture. 92 million people live there. It's a big country.
You know who doesn't know that? Senator Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Because he got ripped by Tucker Carlson, and he specifically asked, how many people live in Iran? And Ted Cruz said, I don't know. So we're about to go to a war with a country. You don't even know how many people live there?
If you're going to vote on it, you should have those kind of details.
Basic
you should
understanding be briefed on of those, a potential adversary? Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you're on the Senate Intelligence Committee, I would think you should have that information.
I would be calling the Senate Unintelligent Committee.
Yeah.
It's called for what it is.
The politics of it is amazing, because normally what happens when there's a military action, the initial reaction is support for the president. Normal reaction. The Gulf of Tonkin incident, over 90% of the America supported it, the Johnson's involvement.
Even though it probably never took place.
But it wore down because you support it. The invasion of Grenada was like about 85%. Iraq, I think of over 80%. I mean, because the natural reaction is to want to support your president. You want to believe that they're doing something right. This is the first time ever that I've seen a poll, and it was a CNN poll, where the majority first reaction is to be cynical about it. 56% opposed this action. 60% of independents, by the way. That's not a good sign.
Why did we go to war with a country where we never even bothered asking Congress, should we do this?
Right. Yeah.
And the magic question, are you ready to send your kids over there to fight and die in the Middle East again? For what clear purpose? You have to know what the mission is here.
And whenever in the past there's been an invasion like this, whether or not you support it or not, and whether or not you support their actions, whether it was Johnson, Nixon, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, if there was a major military action being taken, as you said, they wouldn't telegraph it ahead of time, but while it was happening or immediately thereafter, there would be a national address where the full explanation was put out. Now, maybe not all the details and not all of the, you know, secret stuff, but a full explanation as to what the goals were. And sometimes those weren't really clear, but, you know, what the intention was. And here, Trump bombs these three and then says, now everybody, now we want peace, right? You know,
claims victory. Right. Now we have peace. Now, here's a question, Eric, I ask you. Do you seriously think a Muslim country that was just bombed is not going to send terrorist suicide vest wearing people into European airports to target Americans?
Or something else, some other way of retaliating, closing the Strait of Hormuz. They started off by
an American oil tanker.
Right. They started off right away by sending missiles into Qatar. They were reportedly blocked, but at the American missile, pardon me, at the American military base there, more missiles went into Israel. There is an uneasy ceasefire between Israel and Iran right now, but neither side is promising that that's going to last long. So
I want to bring up a thing here. Back when the USS Cole was, I want to say bombed, when they had the bombs go off on the side of the hull, killing American sailors, I ran into a woman at the gym back in the day who was just angry as hell and says, we need to go to war. And I looked at her and said, who are we going to go to war with? Can you even tell me the terrorist group that did this? This is the problem with the Middle East. It gets to be a, you can't just go to war with Muslims.
That's no.
How many, right. 100 million people? So.
No. And the other thing that is true, that's something we need to think about, is those countries that, you know, when you have asymmetrical warfare, they don't necessarily expect to hit back right away. They think long term. They think long term. It could be years before we're hit back.
I'm thinking within weeks we're going to have a terrorist event somewhere around the world.
But it could be months, because they're saying 9/11 was payback for, you know, stuff that had happened a decade before. You don't know. You know, but I mean, it was just for everything. But
in chess, it's move and counter move. Should a Muslim person wear a suicide vest and explode it at an international airport targeting Americans, what do you think the president's response will be?
Yeah, well, I don't know what this president's response will be, because I don't think he knows what his response will be. He doesn't figure things out. You know, he doesn't, he just kind of goes. I mean, it's almost like he wanted to do the bombing because he saw Netanyahu was winning somehow, right. You know, and he wanted to be part of that win. But it's like I don't even know if Netanyahu is popular in Israel right now. I was trying to find polls on that. I don't think anybody's really polling that question, but they have to be questioning, you know, whether or not anything is really being accomplished. And again, the reports are contradictory as to whether or not this actually accomplished anything. Right. You know, it's it may have destroyed the nuclear project as we know it, or it may have set them back a month, or it may not have hit much of anything. We don't know. What we do know is that we didn't hit any uranium.
Right. And God forbid they get this program up and working again. What do you think the first thing Iran's going to do?
Yeah. And that's assuming there was a program, a significant program. We do know that they were under an agreement working towards nuclear power. That doesn't necessarily, it's not as easy as people think to convert from nuclear power to nuclear weapons. It's a much, much different technology. And so if they were doing that, you know, it's possible. Now, one thing nuclear power plants do is they generate products that are necessary for some nuclear weapons, but we're not there yet. It's, you know, it just, it wasn't a possibility. And what's kind of bizarre is some of the people are predicting that what Trump is going to do and call it a victory is to negotiate our way back into the very treaty that he rejected because it was signed by Obama. And it's not even a treaty. It was an agreement, you know. But, I mean, you know, he's going to get it back and say, see what I got? And it's like, that's what we had, dude. You know, I mean, it's just.
And you ended it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, so, you know, we'll see where this goes. But I don't think, and by the way, there is Republican and MAGA. Oh, and we didn't even talk about the MAGA resistance to this. Bannon,
Steve Bannon and Tucker Carlson are letting the people know Trump was elected to keep us out of endless foreign wars.
Yeah. Not to mention Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene, who are, right. You know, kind of nutty, but you know, but they can't afford to lose any House votes.
We have to bring up one other point. Trump was in office in 4 years. Did he get us out of Afghanistan? No.
No, although you can kind of say that he led to the agreement that Biden followed through on.
By negotiating with the Taliban?
Well, that's what he did, pretty much.
He did. And then he had to let Biden get us out of Afghanistan because 4 years in office and Trump did nothing. Zero.
Yeah. No. I mean, you know, and so far, by the way, Trump is the only president to have used these bunker buster type weapons, these weapons that are just slightly under nuclear weapons. He used a couple of the, they're not daisy cutters, but the ones that came after that in Afghanistan in 2017. No other president has used these weapons. That this is like almost like as powerful as Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I mean, it's just,
I'm waiting to see what the response is going to be, because like you, I think Iran's just sitting back biding their time.
Right. I mean, and Trump is talking regime change again. You don't get regime change by bombing. I mean, Clinton bombed Serbia, you know, Kosovo endlessly, and it didn't lead to regime change. It just, right. you know, doesn't do that. You can take out people, and quite frankly, as I'm reading up on some of the stuff, Iran had a really inept military leadership, and Netanyahu killed them all. Their military killed them all in one strike early on. Apparently, Iran's military became instantly more effective. That may have been a strategic error, because the people who made it to the top were the ones who got there because of nepotism, political nepotism, and the rest in that system. So it's just it's hard to say what's going on. I would say that Iran is in a much weaker position than they were in internationally, but I don't know that they're in any danger of collapsing politically.
Right. Agreed.
So anyway, I don't know that there's too much more to say about that. The War Powers Act thing got maybe, mostly Democratic votes, a couple of Republican ones. But Republicans are very noticeably, even the ones who have come out against him, are really quiet about this. And I think they're going to look at the CNN poll that came out today, and they're going to like say, maybe I don't want to jump on that bandwagon right now.
Once again, when you have to go to your constituents and say, hey, we're sending your kids into war, we can't tell you why, and we can't tell you how long we're going to be there, that's not a good sign.
If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
Meanwhile, apparently, you saw that debate between Carlson and Senator Cruz. Apparently, there was a very interesting debate between Marjorie Taylor Greene and Mark Levine, who's just absolutely manic. I don't know if you've ever listened.
I missed that. I got to watch that.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it just was off the rails. No, there are a lot of people. These are people that don't want war in Iran. They want war in Los Angeles. That's what they, were pushing for.
So I have to bring up the point. It was brought up on Bill Maher this last week that unfortunately our president thinks the biggest threat to the United States is not a potential terrorist with a suicide vest in a European airport. Our president thinks the biggest threat to the United States is a guy with a leaf blower in Encino.
Yeah,
that's how our mega thinks today.
Yeah,
some guy who's not working for his family is more bigger threat than a potential terrorist in an airport with a suicide vest.
And you were referencing before the show, we'll talk a little bit about what's happened with ICE. We'll talk a little bit about some court decisions. The Supreme Court has ruled that, unfortunately, Trump can deport people to countries that aren't of the origin,
Right. Third-party countries.
Yeah.
But the Supreme Court also ruled 9-0 that you cannot deport them without due process. 9-0.
Right.
Which was like, what? The conservatives said you actually get due process in this country?
Yeah, no, right. Yep. Well, there is that, and we've talked about that on this show. There's this belief within certain right-wing circles that due process is a right that is only afforded Americans. And that's not the case. It's considered a fundamental right, which in the words of the Declaration of the Independence are endowed by our Creator. There are privileges and there are rights. Citizens get privileges. Everyone gets rights.
Right. So whether you're a tourist, right. you're here on a visa, or you're here illegally, everyone gets rights.
Everyone gets rights. Whether you're a mass murderer, you get rights. You get, you know, you lose them once you're convicted, but you have rights in the meantime. Right. And you know, it's just the way it is. And you get due process, which means procedural and substantive due process. You're entitled to the hearing. It has to be with an in theory unbiased source. You're entitled to present your evidence and argue. You're entitled to face your accusers. All of that, and before anything is taken from you, including your freedom.
Eric, did you want to go on to ICE, or did you want to talk about the New York City primary?
Why don't we talk about ICE in a minute? I do want to point out that there was a decision against Trump last week held that that Trump cannot withhold transportation funding from states that refuse to cooperate with ICE, that were from sanctuary states. A number of reasons why that's true. A, transportation funding is set up by Congress. There seems to be a confusion with Republicans lately about the fact that Congress actually makes decisions about how money is spent and where it's supposed to go. They seem to think that, well, once we've passed the law, it's up to the president. That decision was made. We'll see if it's upheld. I really doubt that's going to be overturned. And apparently they are not going to be able to deprive Harvard of its federal funding. Nor can they bar prevent foreign students from attending Harvard unless they're going to bar all foreign students.
Right. You mean they can't just bar Muslim students?
Or they can't just bar Muslim students, and they can't just select a school and say your foreign students have to go home. So, you know, that's ICE, as you mentioned, has arrested by mistake citizens.
Right. U.S. citizens. It keeps happening daily. Here's the crazy thing I just heard today. To meet Stephen Miller's goal of 3,000 people being deported a day, it's almost like some bad thing from Poland in 1943, where you have to get 3,000 people on the trains every day. Mm-hmm. Stephen Miller wants 3,000 people, or he's not happy, and he's going to fire people and bring in people who will do that. ISIS allegedly hired independent contractors, given a minimal training, and they're out in the streets in civilian clothes. No badges, no names, you don't know if it's ICE, Homeland Security, local law enforcement, county sheriffs, nothing. There's people showing up in jeans and a polo shirt, and they're grabbing people, zip tying them, throwing them in the back of unmarked cars with out-of-state license plates and driving off. Would that freak you out if someone did that to your daughter?
It would freak me out if I saw them doing it to anyone. I mean,
that's my point. And then, of course, now they're wearing the mask over their face. Because allegedly they don't want to be doxxed, because one guy said, and I looked it up and I couldn't actually find it anywhere, but one guy said, they put my picture up there, my home address, and now my wife's getting death threats. Did that happen? Yeah, we don't know.
I have not been able to find that actual incident.
I haven't been able to locate the person who had it happen, because I was going to show me this guy's photo and his address. Didn't occur, but that's, of course, what – if you ask me, did the Trump White House people lie? Well, of course, their mouth was moving. So, yes, they lied. We have people with masks, badges, civilian clothes, grabbing people off the streets, zip tying them, throwing them in the back of an unmarked car with an out-of-state license plate and driving away. You can imagine the citizens are not happy about this.
The other thing that's really causing problems is that there have been criminal people who've taken advantage of this, who are wearing masks and pretending to be ICE officers, and they have kidnapped people.
They're trying to get sex with foreign women, saying,
yes,
you either have sex with me or we're going to deport you. They don't work for ICE. They're just some Joe Blow off the street who said, hold it, I can just put a mask on my face and grab any woman I want, tell her she has to have sex with me?
There's about a dozen criminal cases of this. I mean, it's really insane because they
don't have their names, they don't have badges, they don't have any markings whatsoever. We don't know if they're actual law enforcement or they're just crazy vigilantes who want to go create havoc.
No. And then there's other incidents. For instance, in Southern California somewhere, there was a guy who had a flash grenade, and they're driving by and there's a protest in the park. He's a nice person. He just basically leaned out the window and threw it into the park. Like, no reason. He's just driving by. And he didn't realize he was caught on video because, you know, this is, yeah, I mean, it's just there. And he wasn't wearing a mask. That's a mistake he made. He may be in trouble. You know, the...
In Pasadena, somebody was following an ICE car, got behind them, and then jumped out and was filming it. They just want to take a picture of license plate. The guy got out of the driver's seat and pulled a gun on them.
Yes.
Unarmed civilian. He wasn't unarmed. He had a camera in his hand, a cell phone. Pulled a gun on him in the middle of the street, and all these civilians are watching going, what the hell? Also, I want to point out that these ICE guys are all carrying semi-automatic weapons. These are weapons of war. They're meant to kill mass numbers of people. You don't need an M16 to go in an urban area to grab people. I don't know why they have rifles, semi-automatic rifles.
And even more scary, some of them have silencers. What's that about?
I mean, that's combat.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, that's like assassination, like a team going in to take out, you know, a SEAL team going in to take out a, you know, a foreign leader or something. I mean,
let's bring up what Trump's promise was, and when he got elected on campaigning, I'm going to go take out these career criminals who are illegal aliens. People don't have a problem with that. If you're a murderer, rapist, you're doing assault, robbery, drug dealer, gang member, okay, we're going to be a better society if you're gone. He's not doing it. He's going to Mexican restaurants around the country because they think that's probably what they call a high potential for an illegal alien. They grabbed one guy down in L.A. who was selling fruits on a corner.
I mean,
this is what they cut up fruits, and they said, this is just a tradition. And you go to any city in L.A., there's people selling fruits on the corner. There's people who do the hot dogs wrapped in bacon everywhere you go. This is part of L.A. They're snagging these people thinking they're probably an illegal immigrant. I've got one more number. One of the legal guys they grabbed, he was filming it. They don't know if his friend was an illegal or not, but he was just filming. They threw him on the ground and put him in detention for 24 hours because he could have been an illegal immigrant.
Yeah.
This is the crazy stuff that's happening around the country.
But they're going to be frustrated, and I'm surprised they haven't figured this out yet, because one of the reasons that both Obama and Biden actually still, as of this point of time, would have deported more people is because they focused on the criminals aspect of it. If you got criminal convictions, you can't apply for asylum. You can't apply, you know, there's a lot of different things and a bunch of other different defenses don't apply. If you were here legally, like you came in on a tourist visa and you overstayed the tourist visa, or you got waived through a checkpoint.
Elon Musk did?
Right, yeah, or you got waived through a checkpoint because they can't check every car, you know, or something like that. It's a civil violation, not a criminal one, and you've got defenses. So you're able to, you're going to present them because why not? You got nothing to lose. And that's going to slow down the court processes, which means that there can only be, you know, 5 deportation hearings in a session rather than 20. I mean, that's why they're not deported. They can have the arrests, but it doesn't lead to the deportations.
Do you know who else overstayed their work visa back in the day? Melania.
Yeah. I mean, people do it all the time. I knew students who did it. I knew students who did it just because they forgot to renew. That's, you know, I mean, it happens. But usually it was simple. They could just go in and, and maybe they had to pay, you know, extra money for processing or whatever, a little bit of a fine. But now I'd be scared for them because of the way they're being treated. You know, it's just the last thing I want to say about this is Pope Leo is actually having his more recent appointees go show up to the court hearings where people are coming in. And he had in San Diego, he had Bishop Pham as a recent appointment of his, Southeast Asia somewhere, I'm not sure which country exactly, an immigrant himself here legally, or maybe he's second generation, I don't know. But he showed up, and the people that were waiting for the immigrants in the court hearings were going to arrest him outside, just like, you know, has happened around the country. They scattered, they left. I mean, I guess they don't want to go to hell or whatever. I don't know. But
and the worst part about this is these are the people who are trying to do it legally. They're trying to go through the courts, trying to get some form of legal residence here. And if they show up at the courthouse, they arrest them.
Yeah, right.
It's insane.
Yeah, it is. I mean, because that's always the mantra. Do it the right way.
Right.
And yet, you know.
If you do it the right way, we're going to arrest you.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it is insane. And so that is going to be happening. So that might be maybe a good segue into the next one, because one of the people where this happened, apparently it works better if you're clergy than if you're a political figure, because Brad Lander is one of those people who was arrested. He's a comptroller in New York City, and he was running for New York City mayor. He did not win, but came in third place, and his votes are significant. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But we've talked about the big fights, the Civil War going on in the Republican Party. There are also big fights going on within the Democratic Party. There are people that are mainstream, and there are people, as we call them, and there are people who are in the so-called progressive wing, and sometimes one wins or sometimes the other wins. There are a lot of people, not just progressives, by the way, but a lot of people who are not satisfied with the Democratic Party leadership right now. They don't think that Chuck Schumer and the leadership are particularly effective. And so you have the situation in New York City where you have the existing mayor is Adams was voted in because he, you know, had kind of a law and order platform, and everybody thought, you know, he was going to be, you know, kind of a Democrat with a good law and order platform. But he and just about everybody else in his office have been facing charges for corruption, which were moving forward, but got all of a sudden dismissed for reasons the Department of Justice couldn't really explain to the judge, and the judge chewed the prosecutors out, and seven prosecutors resigned in protest over it. He's the current mayor. He dropped out of the Democratic Party, and he's now saying he's going to run as an independent in the general. So you had one Republican candidate. It's Jack Sliwa. He's been in the Angels, Guardian Angels. He runs all the time. He's like the lone Republican who's ever run in New York City besides Giuliani. And he runs every time. He collects his 5% of the vote, comes back. And so we had this Democratic primary with like 12 candidates. And so you have Cuomo coming back there. He was the governor, left in disgrace, 11 people, 11 women accusing him of sexual harassment. He probably figures, hey, you know, the president is elected with like three times as many women accusing him of that, and has actually been adjudicated a rapist. Why not? Why do I have to stay out of politics? So, and he was way ahead in the polls when this all began. This upstart Zoran Mamdani was at like 2%, but he climbed in the polls. Now, he's a charismatic young man, about 33, and he is Muslim, and he is a self-identified democratic socialist. He won't be, if he's elected mayor, he won't be the first. David Dinkle in the 90s, Dinkin, was a member of DSA, but he was a lot more quiet about it. But this young man is very charismatic, and so far I've seen he's only made one major mistake that I thought might hurt him in the election. But he ran now the way I'll turn it over to you in a minute, Matt, but I want to explain how elections work in New York City. They have a ranked choice system where if nobody gets 50% of the vote in the first round, then everybody has their second ranked choice. And so so the people who weren't in the top two, their second choice ranks, I forget how many it goes, it might be multiple rounds, but up until somebody gets over 50%. We actually have a couple states that operate that way, Maine and Alaska, and San Francisco, I believe, operates that way. So I want to go to the finals, though, because Mamdani picked up in the polls. He did really well in the debates. And I'll tell you about the one mistake he made, and he learned from it, and he's not going to make that again. And he came up yesterday with 43.5% of the vote, with 93% of the votes counted, did really well in Brooklyn, did well in Queens, won in Manhattan. Cuomo did as well as expected in Bronx and took Staten Island, but not as well as expected. Now, you would expect that Mamdani would win the hipster vote, some of the other minority groups' votes, and some of the typical ones. He got the endorsement of Ocasio-Cortez and some of the other progressive
and Bernie.
But he did well in some of the middle class areas, and despite his really clumsy talk of academic of there's different understandings of the word intifada, which is something that a college professor can say, but maybe not a politician. That's the mistake he made. He got a lot of Jewish votes, and even though he has 43.5% of the vote compared to Andrew Cuomo's 36.4, Brad Lander, the one we talked about who got arrested because he was trying to help a immigrant out in court that was arrested, came out with 11.3% of the vote. And he and Mamdani co-endorsed each other for second choice ranked voting. So it's assumed that most of his votes are going to go to Mamdani and most of the others as well, and that he will break, as of next Tuesday, the 50%. Mamdani, this is considered the biggest upset in New York City history. It's got everybody in shock. And they're talking about it everywhere. Some people are freaking out. Some of the MAGA crowd are just flipping out and going all racist about it. So the question is will Mamdani take a more moderate approach? He seems to be. He's lost some votes from some of the young radical crowd because he referred to October 7 as a major human rights, I forget what it was, but it considered a horrific act of human rights violation or whatever, and some people are saying it wasn't that bad. I'll come up with the exact wording later, but he's talking about anti-Semitism and appealing to that, and even though he's a democratic socialist, a lot of his proposals aren't all that radical. They're kind of what Democrats have proposed, so we'll see. Matt, you want to chime in here?
Well, his globalize the antifada did not go over well. That was a mistake. Well, as you know, from the river to the sea, people are saying, "Oh, so you want to slaughter Jews again? Okay, great, nice." His proposals, and here's where I always get bad with the progressives. The progressives have great ideas until you ask them how you're going to pay for it. Love their ideas, but they never tell you how they're going to pay for it.
Well, he actually does say, but we'll get back to that.
He wants to tax anyone who makes more than $1 million in New York City, which is the largest city in the United States with people who make over $1 million of income, an additional 2%, and he wants to tax corporations. Yeah. Do you know how many financial firms are in New York?
I don't.
Pretty much every one of them. So you can imagine the backlash right now on Wall Street saying, basically, the progressives are doing the same old crap. They're going to tax us to pay for the poor.
I mean, that's how it's done. Now his rhetoric has basically said, look, they've gotten two major tax cuts over the past 10 years. They're doing just fine. They can afford this, and this will help improve the city. They'll benefit from it.
They say this all the time until people move out.
Well, that's just it. They can't really move out. I mean, you know, San Francisco, Google has been threatening to move out of San Francisco since the beginning of time. And a lot of people are saying, well, when are you going to carry through with that? You know, it's easier said than done. They can move out their residents, but can they really move their business out of the city? Some can, others can't. It doesn't really happen. And also, even if they do, there's still going to be the finance. You can move your headquarters out, but you still got to do business in there. If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
But, you know, if you could do even a certain number of them, you're going to get credit for it. I mean, but, you know, it's just...
Here's the Fox News response. When a progressive comes out and says, I'm going to give you free food, free housing, free medical, who the hell is going to pay for that?
Well, and that's always, that's always the answer. But a lot of times these things, I mean, look, how do we pay for anything? One of the things we do is we don't often acknowledge the subsidization that we have in our system. What a lot of people don't understand is... on our highways, for instance, commercial trucks cause like 80% of the damage to the highways. Right. They pay between 15% and 20% of the fees and the taxes to them. Now, there may be very good reason for that, right? That they are not paying for all the damage, that the rest of us are subsidizing them. But let's admit that that's a subsidization and that we're doing it so that we can keep all the costs of the goods down for consumers overall. Let's admit that that is a form of socialism.
So I was just going to say, are you about to say that we socialize businesses?
Yes, right. That's
Does Fox News know this?
It's
capitalistic corporations are actually socialist.
Michael Harrington, one of the co-founders of Democratic Socialists of America, was very famous for saying, we live in a country that socializes the risk and privatizes the profit. You know, it's just, look, the word socialism, we really need to visit it. I mean, because it's, as some professors will tell you, it's a question of a spectrum. It's a question of degree. Every system has socialism and every system has free enterprise. From the deepest times of Stalin, there was always some free enterprise, even if it was just the black market. And there's always some type of socialism. The roads are socialism, right? If they're paid for by public. What's that?
The military.
The military, the schools, a
law
fire
enforcement, fire department.
Yeah, teacher. I mean, so it's just a question of degree. And how it gets paid for, and there are creative ways that things can be done, and there are fees that can be paid that pay for certain things, and it's like, well, we have to have smart policy choices about it,
right,
as to, well, if they pay those fees, will they all be transferred to the consumer, or will they be, will that simply result in fewer payments made to the investors, you know? Right. And does that, then will that mean fewer investments? I mean, it can be thought out. This is what they've done in Europe for decades now. And they've generated the highest standards of living in the world. So, you know,
Europe has a middle class.
It's got its problems. Everybody talks to about Sweden as being the great social democratic experiment, but also the whole banking system is owned by five families there. So it's not pure socialism, right? It's got its issues. Anyway, I mean, it's just, we'll see what happens. But mostly I think that what the message of this was is people were dissatisfied. Right. People were dissatisfied with, why do we have to vote for somebody who left in disgrace, for not just for the reasons, but for his mismanagement of, you know, the homes and the rest. Why do we owe this to him? And, you know, and we got a young man here, maybe he's to the left of what I like, but, you know, but at least he's somebody who will have a discussion and we can talk to. And he went to all the different neighborhoods and he had conversations with people and he convinced them that he was somebody that they could talk to and could, you know, do this. And we'll see how it works out.
Wait till they ask him, what are you doing about the homeless? What are you doing about the crime? And what are you doing about the high taxes?
And he's going to have to
see his answer then.
He's going to have to come up with some answers. And he's going to have to admit, look, I can't solve everything, but here's some proposals we have to improve the situation. And there are mayors around that do this.
Help me if I'm wrong here, Eric, but I've heard numbers that San Francisco is throwing $100 million a year toward the homeless issue. And the homeless issue in San Francisco is only getting worse. So then people ask the magic question, why are you wasting my funds if you're doing worse every year?
Yeah, well, and the question is, what is the answer? I mean, we don't have that yet. We'll have to take that.
What you're doing now is failing, so try something different.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the only thing, the reason in Europe they don't have very many homeless people, and they have all these social programs, the reason in Europe they don't have very many homeless people is because they have compulsory treatment. You know, they have broader ideas of whether you're a harm to yourself or others.
Bring that back to America.
But we have in this country a very strong constitution of individual rights and due process. That you know, it's and so that.
So now the homeless get due process also?
Well, you know, there you go. I mean, there you have to. It's a problem. I mean, you know, and so you got to be ready for what that means. It does mean that somebody is arrested who's maybe hasn't done anything to hurt anybody, but we're saying, no, you can't take care of yourself. We need to bring you in to treat you. And that doesn't jibe well with the values of our country. You know, it's a tough situation.
It's a give and take.
But on the other hand, you talk to people that have been through the mandatory treatment in Europe and they say, I'm glad it happened. Not all of them, but most of them. So
we should do that here in America.
It's a tough one. But then, you know, in science fiction, people who go through the brainwashing, you know, machines always say that they preferred it too. So it's a tough, you know, it's a real tough situation. And I don't know what the answers are. I suspect there is no singular answer. I don't know that any presidential candidate has even really addressed it in a comprehensive way in decades, if ever. Not even Bernie. So
good luck.
All right. We've talked about that topic, but what we can kind of go into this is a battle that the Democratic Party needs to look at this. Because this is a guy who won by not, you know, having, you know, raising a lot of money through donors, but going to neighborhoods and talking to people.
Well, you know? I understand.
Yeah.
I hear where you're going with this. You're doing the old Bernie thing, but how is this going to sell in the Midwest and the South?
Well, the same way it's sold in Staten Island. Staten Island is
New York is a far left city.
Staten Island is not, though. Staten Island actually has Republicans that come out of it. It's about, you know, as conservative as you can be in a major city. I mean, it's where all the cops live.
Okay.
It's where a lot of the businessmen live. It's a, and he didn't take Staten Island, but he did much better there than he would have done.
And let's run this through the Fox News lens. What are they going to do to a candidate like him on the national level?
Well, but this is the point I'm making, too, is he didn't write off Staten Island like a lot of progressives do. He knew that, look, I'm not going to win everybody's hearts and minds. How did Harvey Milk defeat Prop 6 when it was ahead by like 50 points at one point? Remember Prop 6 in 1978 that was going to ban homosexuals way ahead? Early on.
Not ban homosexuals, homosexual teachers, wasn't it?
Yeah, homosexual teachers and people who were pro-homosexual teachers would have been banned from teaching. He did this by going all over the state, including coming to Humboldt County and to rural areas, people who, you know, facing down people who hated him or thought he was, you know, on his way to hell or whatever. He did this. Mondami went in and he met people who said, look, I'm not going to vote for you, but I appreciate that you made the effort. I mean, that, you know, that's what he did. That's what Democrats need to learn. No, don't write anybody off.
Okay.
That's, you know, that, well, that's the message here.
If AOC runs for president, what's Fox News going to do?
Oh, they're already freaking out. Just with the concept of it. I mean, whether she runs in 28 or 32, I mean, she's got plenty of time to think about it, but they're flipping out. I mean, Trump already dedicated a couple of his Truth Social posts to ranting about her, so she's already on their target list.
Okay. I mean, she's on the radar.
Yeah, they're worried about her because, you know, right now probably she's not that much of a threat because she's out of the mainstream, but they're looking at her, they're watching her speeches, and they're becoming more sophisticated. And she's becoming more well-known in rural areas and out of that. And she'll probably moderate her message like a lot of people do, you know, as she gets older. So, yeah, they're worried about that.
And like I said, I've listened to a lot of Bernie's speeches over the years. What he says is correct. I just wish he would go in a little more detail on how we're going to pay for this.
Well, and that's it. Yeah, it's not. It's got to be an economic plan. It's not just about having programs where you're paying for this stuff. You've got to have an economic plan.
I mean, I'm going to stay home and just watch TV because you're going to do all the work, and I'm going to get free food and free housing, right?
Right. No, you've got to. You've got to get people there. I mean, one of the things Kennedy did, one of the part of the magic is to his stuff is he got people involved. You know, ask not what you can do for your country. I mean, and that's part of what was the success of Bernie's, why he took California in 2020. He got young people involved. Oh, that's the other thing we need to talk about before we leave this topic, is he got young men involved, people who the Democrats have been losing. You know, Mamdani did. He's, you know, young people. He got them excited. I mean, they turned out early in the vote. That's where people realize that Cuomo might be in trouble. You get young people voting in an off-year election. This isn't even an off-year election. There's, you know, there's nothing else on the ticket. I mean, that's amazing. Literally. Yeah. Yeah, it's so, I mean, you know, this was good. But there were a lot of people in New York and a lot of people watching. I watched Bill Kristol. He's a conservative guy. He's not as conservative as he used to be. But if you go on, you're familiar with Bulwark, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bulwark had an interview with him. You can find it on one of their latest YouTubes. Bill Kristol says, look, he's way to the left of what I do, but you got to admire what he did. And he goes and he says, this is a lesson the Democrats need to learn. Not his ideology necessarily. It's not going to play well everywhere outside New York City, but his model of running, of getting out there and talking to people and getting on to the podcasts. You know, and being willing to talk and show yourself, even if the person, you know, disagrees with you.
And Eric, on that same note, have we thought about bringing a Republican on?
We put this invitation out there. We welcome anybody who wants to join us. I promise it will be a friendly conversation.
Respectful.
What's that?
Respectful.
Respectful. Respectful conversation. It's not about, you know, we don't do gotchas. We don't do, trying to outdo you with our knowledge or anything like that. That's not my game. My goal and Matt's goal and Dave's goal and everybody else who's been on the show is to have an interesting educational discussion. That's what we want to see. That brings us to predictions. What do you have for us, Matt?
My biggest fear right now is Muslim retaliation. We talked earlier about this, and I'm going to predict in the next coming weeks or months, a Muslim terrorist is going to wear a suicide vest in a major European airport targeting Americans. And then from there, the unknown thing is what's going to be President Trump's response.
All right. Well, I'm the parliamentarian, the big, beautiful bill, as it's called, has faced some problems with the parliamentarian. The parliamentarian McDonough has ruled that there are all kinds of items in the bill which do not pertain to the budget and therefore will not allow it to pass through free of the potential for a filibuster. So, right. For instance, the changes to the federal employees' retirement system contributions, authorizations for states to conduct border security and immigration enforcement, measure to limit court contempt powers, which is probably unconstitutional anyways, and several other changes don't pertain to a budget item. And that means that those would have to come out of the bill in order for it to avoid a Senate filibuster. But there are people in the House that are saying, I'm not voting for it without those measures. So my prediction is they're probably going to have to go back to the beginning. And the big, beautiful bill is in a lot of trouble, especially as we get closer to the 2026 elections.
That's one good thing.
We'll find out if any of this comes true. In the meantime, stay informed and stay engaged.
And tune in next week.